Welcome to the E-Commerce Society podcast, where you can learn how to start, grow, scale, or launch your dream e-commerce and product-based business, all without ever relying on ads or social media. Each week, you will hear step-by-step, tangible, and fluff-free strategies to help you skyrocket your sales and traffic, gain more visibility for your business, and create those mega loyal customer super fans, which you totally need. Hi, I'm Carrie Fitzgerald, your cheerleader and hype girl. I went from corporate marketing in the education space to building, scaling, and selling my own product-based business. And today, my work and mission is to help founders just like you create and scale the world's most magnetic brands and turn them into fucking empires. So whether you're thinking of starting a product biz or scaling yours, this podcast is the secret sauce to making all those dreams come true. So grab a coffee or grab a champagne and let's dive into it. Welcome to this week's episode of the E-Commerce Society podcast. I'm super pumped to be here with you this week. So let's dive right into it. So as I'm in the middle of building out two businesses right now, and in particular, I'm going to be referring to the product-based business that I am building out right now, which is going to be a dog poop bag business. So there you go. The cat is out of the bag. I shared it on Instagram this weekend that I'm starting a new dog poop bag business. And I am going to do a formal podcast episode all about that and why I'm doing it and all the things. I am still tweaking the name right now. And until I get some feedback on the trademark issue that's happened, I'm going to hold off on that episode. But I am starting a new product-based business. I sold my first product-based business in 2019. And so this is my first one after starting that one. So I'm super excited. It's taken me a really long time to be ready to do another product-based business, but I'm ready, I'm excited, and all the things. So as I'm in the midst of that and building a tech business in the early stages of the tech business, I'm kind of constantly finding myself thinking about what I would do differently from the first business I built and what I would do differently from the current business that I have right now, which is E-Commerce Society LLC, which is all about, you know, community and, you know, my educational things and my book and all my programs and all those things and the podcast, of course. So I've been in this state of mind constantly of what I would do different. What am I going to do differently with these other businesses? And I put together a list of 10-ish things. Some of them are I'm going to expand a little bit on some of them, and then some of them I might just give a little bit of, you know, feedback on. But there's honestly probably about 100 things I would do differently, but I wanted to keep it condensed and on track. So let's start off with 10 and kind of see how we go. So I'm very open and honest that with my first business, I made a lot of mistakes, and I'm pretty open and honest with my current business. I have made a million mistakes. No one has a business and does everything perfectly, but you need to learn from your mistakes. You can't start another business and then do the same shit you did the first time. That's not going to work, and that's not acceptable. And it's not acceptable for me. I'm holding myself to a very high standard with the dog poop bag business. You know, I hold myself high standards to everything, but I think now that I have been in this space for 8 years, I need to know better. Like, I can't do this mistakes I did the first time. It's just not acceptable. I can't say, oh, well, I didn't know it was my first business. Get your shit together and do better the next time. And that's what I'm saying to myself too. So if I was going to start over again, what would I do differently? So let's just kind of start running through the list. So these aren't in any particular order, but I will try to, as I'm going through my list, identify the ones that I think are like the most important. So, and I think they're all kind of important. So number one is choosing the right product. So I'm not saying that I didn't choose the right product the first time. I think where I was in life and what I had the capacity to do at that time, I needed something that was kind of easy to start. Like, I needed that easy barrier to entry or low barrier to entry. And I started off with a subscription box business. And with the subscription box business, I also had an e-commerce store where I sold one-time products and I sold gift boxes and I manufactured bandanas. And I kind of did a bunch of different things. But I started off with a subscription box. And when I say here today, if I was going to start over, what would I do differently? The reason I say choosing the right product for the next business is I would say 99% of myself would say I would not do another subscription box. And there's many, many reasons to that. The subscription model in general is awesome. It's what you want to have. And I'm going to talk about that in a sec. But a subscription box model just isn't my favorite. Customers expect a lot from you. They expect free shipping. They expect to get a box full of stuff for like a dollar. So it can be really challenging to make a good profit with a subscription box. You have to be really crafty. You've got to have the right product. So I'm going to say this time, what I would do differently is I would choose an easier product. So number one, it would have to have three key things. It would have to have the potential for high margins. So you buy it for a dollar, you sell it for 10 or more. You know, you buy it for $1.50 and you sell it for like 12 or 13. Like, high margins so that it gives you flexibility for all the other things. If you want to sell on Amazon, boom, off the bat, you just lost 30% because they take, I think it's about 30%. I haven't sold on Amazon in a few years. I will be selling with the dog poop bag company, but they take, you know, a big cut right off the start. If you're going to be selling on Etsy, they take a, you know, they have all their fees that people complain about, which I don't agree with. I think Etsy gives you the built-in audience. They deserve to charge some fees. But you want to have big enough margins that you can play around with things. You can afford to pay for marketing. You have a marketing budget. If you want to pay influencers, you want to run ads, you want to do whatever the hell you want. You have some money that's coming in where if your product is a dollar and you're, you know, it costs you a dollar to buy the product. And then you're charging like $2 or $3. You're not making enough money. So anyway, I did that with the first business. I just didn't have high enough margins. And it wasn't anything I could have done differently. I did everything I could to get the most margins as humanly possible. I was so aggressive with pricing on everything. So I actually had okay margins for a subscription box. And then on top of that, I was really strategic with doing things for upsells. So I had a pretty locked in strategy of making the most amount of money as humanly possible every time someone ordered from me. But even with that, it's still not enough margin, you know? So the three things that when I say choosing the product has to have high margins. It has to be like small-ish or lightweight. So basically cheap to ship to a customer and cheap for the product to be shipped to me. So I manufactured dog bandanas for the first business, and that was awesome because they were super small. They would be shipped to me. I would get like 500 of them in a small box, and they were like super tiny and thin, perfect product. But it doesn't lead me to the next part of that perfect product, which is something that people need. Like, it solves a proper pain point. A dog bandana it's like the vitamin versus painkiller analogy. A dog bandana is a vitamin. It's nice to have. It's great. It's fun. It's pretty. It might make you feel good, but it's not a painkiller. You don't need it. It's not essential. Where dog food is essential. I would argue a dog toy for, you know, if you have a dog breed that's a heavy chewer, they need those toys. If you have a dog, like if you have a border collie or a Labrador who loves to chase balls, I would argue a ball toy is like on the borderline of a painkiller product. Like, you kind of need to have those. So I would steer away from anything that isn't a must-have. 100%. I have done the nice-to-have products. And even with my current business, I have a lot of the nice-to-haves. You know, I have all the things that help people with all the things. And some of them are nice to have, but they're not essential. So that is a really important thing. When I was thinking for a really long time about what product to do, it had to be the painkiller product. It has to be something that people need and not nice to have. So that's one part of it. And then the last part, so actually there's four parts to my like perfect product combination. The fourth part is the subscription part of it. So it has to be something that people will use up, a replenishable product. So for example, you buy vitamins and you put them on auto renew on Amazon because you need your fish oil pills every month, for example. So for me, I have really dry eyes. And so I actually do need fish oil pills and I take a specific type of eye drop. So I need those like the plague, you know what I mean? So I always have those products set up on an auto renew because I need them. So I want to sell something that when it runs out, people need to get another batch of them. And again, a dog bandana is not a replenishable product. You can't, like, you could set it up as a subscription product, but I guarantee you that after a few months of someone ordering dog bandanas, they're probably going to cancel because they're going to accumulate a bunch of product in their house and they're going to say, oh, we don't need any more, or we're going to take a break because we have enough bandanas for now. So while you could argue you could do the same thing with dog poop bags, you might order like four boxes of them and then you're like, okay, I'm all set for 6 months. It's kind of a different thing because at some point you are going to run out of dog poop bags and you need more of them. So having a product that you can put on a subscription auto renew service was really, 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 really important to me. You want to get a product in your business that can be repeatable revenue, recurring revenue, reliable revenue, however you want to call it, but it's basically revenue that you can expect to kind of keep coming in because people will keep ordering your product because they need it. So for me, that was it had to be a product that I could do that, basically. So when I say choosing the right product, high margin potential, a product that is kind of essential to have, the painkiller versus vitamin, lightweight, small, easy to ship, and then a product that could be put on a subscription service. So that for me was the most important thing. So if the product idea that I came up with for this next business didn't fit those four things, I wasn't going to do it. And I have done a lot of videos in 2020, or sorry, I did a lot of videos in 2023 on my YouTube where I shared the different ideas for products to start. And I did this one video on my YouTube channel, and it is like 10 of the most profitable pet products businesses to start in 2023 or 2024. And after I did that video, the dog poop bag idea was kind of stuck in my head. And I kept thinking about it. And I was like, oh no, I kind of want to start a dog food bag business. And, you know, I kept thinking, okay, does it fit my criteria? And if it does not fit my criteria, I cannot do it. So anyway, it did fit the criteria. So when I do things differently for the next business, I'm choosing the right product this time. The next thing that I would do is, and I kind of did this before, but I want to talk about this because I think it's really, really important, is having a purpose or mission-based business. So this is something where your business stands for more than just selling a physical product. And I think this is going to become more and more popular and more important for businesses as more e-commerce businesses start to sprout up everywhere. Consumers want to support businesses that give back, that donate a portion of sales, that stand for something more. I don't have stats here. However, I'm going to bet my life that if a customer had choice A and choice B, choice A, cute product, doesn't donate to an organization, doesn't donate to charity, nothing. Option number B, equally cute product or equally as nice of a product, but product B donates 10% of sales to X organization, to X fund, to X whatever, like helping the animals, helping the people, helping the children, whoever. I would bet my life that like 90% of people will choose option B because I think it does a few things, but it humanizes the business more. But more importantly, is I think it makes a customer or a consumer feel better about spending money. because they know even if it's like 25 cents or 50 cents or a dollar of that purchase, it's going towards something good. So I firmly believe that moving forward in the business ecosystem, if your business is not a purpose-based or mission-based business, meaning that your brand stands for more than just physical products. If I'm going to be frank, you're giving something back. You're helping back to people. You are donating a portion of sales or donating a portion of proceeds to something else. I think it's going to become more and more important. So while I actually did that with the first business, I'm going to add this to my list because I think it's really important for people when you are thinking about starting a business, pivoting your business, changing, evolving your business, you think, how can I get my business to mean more than just the product? And I think customers will choose your business. If there's two choices, choice A and choice B, they'll choose you if you are donating something to help other people or help animals or whatever. So with the dog poop bag business, I am going to be choosing an organization to donate something to. I haven't even thought about that stuff, but that is part of the brand 100%. Also, because the poop bags are likely going to be compostable and, you know, better for the environment than like the normal plastic bags, I am thinking of maybe on certain months, I donate a portion of sales to like help polar bears or, you know, something that's really meaningful to me that I think customers or my audience will, you know, they'll care about enough. I know that I love bears. And so I do want to kind of weave in being able to help bears in some capacity, maybe not every single month, but dogs for sure. I will be donating a portion of sales, possibly like I did with my first business where I would choose different animal rescues every month and I would donate to them. I haven't decided on what strategy I'm going to do for that, but it will be 100% a purpose-driven brand where we do donate a portion of sales to help either rescue dogs or something. Again, I haven't quite decided that. So I think that's a really, really important thing. Okay, on to the next one. So number three is a clear marketing and visibility strategy from day one. So with my first business, I didn't do a lot initially. I started the business with zero business background. I did have marketing background, but I was used to selling educational programs. So super different than selling a physical product. So with the first business, I did a lot of Instagram the first year, and I did like customer loyalty, customer referral kind of things without even knowing that's what I was doing, but I was rewarding customers for referring friends and family and that kind of thing. So I was kind of doing a couple things, but beyond Instagram for the first 8-9 months, I wasn't really doing much else. And it wasn't until a year into the business or a year plus into the business that I even started doing SEO, that I started doing blogging, that I started really honing in on email marketing. So those things would be done from day one. So I haven't even started the website for the dog poop bag business. I'm still at the initial stages of doing the visual branding, getting the name locked down. I did start an Instagram account just to like start it. But the second I have the website up and running, we will start doing blog posts every single week for the entire year, if not the entire business. Blogging gets you crazy visibility, okay? It helps you get on Google where people are searching for things. So clear marketing and visibility strategy from day one. So what I would be doing from day one is optimizing the website for SEO. So doing keyword research using a tool like Ubersuggest, making sure all my pages have clear titles with keywords, meta descriptions with keywords. All of my images are optimized with, again, clear titles and alt text. So if my image is of a dog posing with the poop bag, you know, it's going to be called whatever the keyword that I'm trying to rank for in terms of poop bags, fun poop bags, cute poop bags, eco-friendly poop bags, purple poop bags, whatever. brandname.jpg. So that's how you title images. So when someone searches on Google, your stuff shows up because you have titled it correctly. You're telling Google what you sell. And then I'd really be focusing on a few other things, such as affiliate marketing, customer loyalty program. And I'm going to kind of talk about this a little bit more with some of the other strategies, but I'd really be focusing on affiliate marketing, PR, you know, getting myself featured in gift guides, you know, identifying people on YouTube that I could send product to, micro influencers in some capacity. I don't know what my problem is. And I'm not sure if anyone listening agrees with me, but I have this weird block when it comes to influencers that in my brain, I don't want to pay them. And I feel bad. I really feel bad about that. But I think influencers are so cheesy. So I probably have to get over my block here and just get over it and know that, like, you have to buck up and pay for people to create content for you. But I just don't want to. So it's like I have this weird thing against influencers and I don't know why. It's a weird thing. And if you agree with me, let me know so I know that I'm not the only one feeling like an asshole over here poking fun at influencers. So anyway, and I think like in some capacity, we are all influencers in a small way. But the typical influencer who is, I just think of the typical influencer on Instagram, for example, who just is like posts selfies 300 times a day with like, you know, the leg kick back when they're trying on clothes or the like waving that, like tapping the products with their fingers. And then like, ew, I bought Kylie cream. And like they do the tap, tap, tap on the packaging. It drives me crazy. The ick and cringe inside my body like goes ballistic and I can't stand it. So I know there are really great influencers out there and I really want to meet you. So, anyway, so those are some of the things that I would do in terms of marketing and visibility. A lot of you listening, you have a business and you're constantly like, I need more traffic. No one is buying from me. And then I look at your business and what you're doing and you're basically like doing nothing in terms of marketing. Marketing is 90% of your business success. If you are not marketing your business beyond just Instagram or just TikTok, that's why you're not getting sales. I guarantee it. You're just not getting yourself in front of enough people. You need to have a robust marketing strategy. So notice I didn't just say, I'm going to post on Instagram every day. No, I didn't even talk about Instagram, actually. I talked about doing all the other things, SEO, creating content, sending stuff to YouTubers, getting my stuff featured in gift guides, SEO, getting my on-page stuff done. Like, yes, I will be definitely doing Instagram and TikTok. And in fact, if I'm being honest, I will put more effort into TikTok than I will with Instagram. I'm just convinced Instagram is dying away. I don't know. Like I have one of my, my e-commerce society account on Instagram. I want to say I have like 70 followers and then my Carrie F count, 3,000 something. If I post reels on the same day, I pretty much get the same amount of views on both for an account that has 3,000 followers that I've been growing for 4 years versus the e-commerce society account with 70 followers or something. Like, what the hell? So I'm kind of over Instagram, to be honest with you. So, and then let's see, number four. So what I would do differently this time is I would expand my sales channels. So this time around, I have a very strategic strategy. Does that make sense? Strategic strategy. I have a strategic plan for sales channels. So I want to go balls to the wall. I want to do Amazon. I want to sell wholesale. I want to get into stores. I don't want to do in-person markets. Okay. I don't want to, but I might have to. Like, I live in Seattle. Seattle is possibly one of the most dog-friendly cities in the whole country. So it makes sense for me to do events or markets. I like the idea of doing events, like pet-friendly events or something. But in-person markets are not really my strategy, but we'll see. I'll let you know what I feel about that in 6 months. But Amazon's going to be a huge part of my strategy. So I'm doing a trademark. I'm doing the trademark upfront, so I have no issues down the line. And I am doing a trademark also because I want to make sure that I have no issues getting setting up an Amazon brand registry. So I'm really excited about that. I have dabbled with Amazon with my first business. In fact, my subscription box was one of the first subscription boxes to be invited to sell on their subscription platform. But I don't feel like I know enough about Amazon. So I'm really pumped to kind of learn more and like drink the Amazon Kool-Aid a little bit. And then wholesale, super pumped to do wholesale. I definitely want to get my stuff into like boutiques and fun pet shops and things like that. And I don't know anything about wholesale. So that's a new thing I have to learn. I have to go bug my business friends who teach wholesale and kind of probably ask them some questions, buy their courses. No, I don't want to buy a course. But, you know, I definitely need to learn about wholesale. It's not something that I would say out of the entire e-commerce strategy, wholesale is the one piece that I just have no knowledge of whatsoever. So I actually am really excited to learn a little bit more about wholesale. And then obviously I will have my direct-to-consumer website. That's going to be the main focus and strategy. But I would say direct-to-consumer website on Shopify, Amazon, wholesale. And then Etsy, I probably will also start an Etsy account too, because it's kind of like, what, like, why not? And that's the thing. Like, when you have a business, you have to try the different things and you have to kind of have the attitude of why not? Like, why not put my stuff on Etsy, you know? So that's one thing. So with the first business, I didn't have Etsy and I didn't have wholesale. I did have Amazon, but like, that wasn't a huge part of my business, really. So diverse sales channels is, let me see, I've talked about 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. So number 5 is going to be, I would hire a VA. So this is something that I did not do with the first business. I did not hire a team. And I think hiring a team, you know, it takes time to basically make enough money to hire a team. It takes time to be let go of the control to want to hire a team. So I'm fully aware of that. And I'm aware that I have put in the work the last couple of years with my current business to be comfortable with hiring some level of team. So I've had a virtual assistant in my business right now. My latest and greatest, Rose, you're the best. She's been with me now over a year and, you know, it's working out really well. She does different things for me. And like, I need someone to help me with certain things. So with the next business, one thing that I would definitely do differently is I'd probably have a virtual assistant. Maybe not from like the get-go, but pretty quickly on. And the first things that I would basically hire out would be managing the inbox. So I do not like checking business email. I don't like dealing with customer service things. I did that with the first business. I learned really quickly how to make customers happy. And I wouldn't change anything for the world. That experience taught me so freaking much. And I literally wrote a book called Customer Obsession. You can grab it on Amazon if you want a copy of it. But I wrote a book called Customer Obsession. And one of the chapters of the book is customer service. Like, you have to have incredible customer service. You have to. If you don't, your business will fail. Okay. I'm sorry, Susan. But your business will fail if you do not have good customer service. You need it. You have to do it. You need to get on with your life and do it yourself or find someone else to do it for you. So I don't enjoy doing that. I did that for the first business. I don't really want to do it again. Maybe I'll do it for the first few months just as the business is up and running. But it's not something that I intend to do long term. So I would say to start off with for my business, the first two things that I will likely hire out will be someone to help with customer support and the support email account. And then the second thing that I would have hired out quite quickly as I launch the business is going to be packing the orders for me. I don't like doing that. I do not like doing it. I will say, probably for the first month, I'll be pumped. Be like, yes, an order came in. Woohoo, let's pack it. Yeah. I think that will wear off quickly because I don't enjoy doing it and it's a waste of time. Like, packing orders is one of those things where you have to do it, but it does not grow your business for you. So me knowing what my strengths are, and I'm going to talk about that right after this, me knowing what my strengths are, I know now I cannot waste time on packing orders. It's just my skill set is better used somewhere else. So what I will have to do is basically put out some kind of an advertisement either in my town, in a Facebook group, or my local Facebook group for the community, like the neighborhood community I live in, and try to see if maybe there is like a teenager or, you know, someone who's looking to make a little bit of extra money. They come to my house maybe 2 days a week for like a couple hours and they help pack orders and that's it. So it probably has to be someone who can just like walk to my house, but I would probably start off with just a couple hours per week. And to be honest, what I would do initially is I'd probably have someone, because what I'm planning to do for the poop bags is probably get like a box of, maybe like a box of eight rolls. I'm not 100% sure. I'm in the very early stages still. I'm kind of working on the branding now and just taking the next steps as they come. But I'm thinking there'll be around eight rolls in a box. So what I'll probably have someone do is come to my house and take the rolls and put them inside the exterior packaging. So whatever the packaging is going to be, if it's going to be a box, if it's going to be a poly mailer, it's probably going to be a box because I don't want the box to get damaged if it's in a poly mailer. Maybe it's a padded poly mailer. I don't know yet. I haven't gotten that far. That stuff is easy to figure out, but I'll probably have someone come to my house initially and just like stuff the poop bags into the packaging and that's it. And then I probably, once we start to get orders, I will have them, I'll teach them how to use the system where they can look at the orders that have come in. They can print the labels out. I'm going to have to buy a Dymo roller or I don't know, a roller. Why do I keep saying roller? What are they called? The labels, the label printer. I haven't had one in many years. When I sold the business, I gave them my Dymo printer, label printer. I loved it. It was like, I remember when I first started the business, I used to literally print out labels on like regular paper on a printer. And I would have to like cut the label out with scissors and then tape it with like scotch tape. Is so funny. So anyway, it's okay to start scrappy. Okay, Susan, it's okay. So I would have them do all that stuff. I'm going to be, because I'll also be doing starting a tech business and I have my current business where I'll be doing podcast episodes. I'll probably still have a couple of my programs, my email membership, etc. So I need to be really strategic with my time. And so having someone come to the house, even if it's like one day a week for a couple hours, that's a great place to start. Each week they come for maybe 1 to 2 hours. They can stuff packages for me. Maybe they can do some other things. If it's like a young person, then they're probably going to be a TikTok master. And I can probably have them like do some TikTok for me. Who knows? There's so much opportunity. So that's going to be probably the two things that I would outsource first are the email inbox, customer service, and then helping pack orders. So very important. I do not want to do that this time around. I know what I want. I know what I don't want. And then down the line, one of the things that I would definitely want to do is get my stuff put on a fulfillment center. So then it just gets taken off my plate entirely. So I wouldn't start off with that. But once I got to a certain volume, that is part of the strategy for next time too. So I didn't add that to the list, but that actually is one. And then number six would be knowing my strengths and playing to my strengths. So I didn't do that the first business. I didn't do that with my first business at all. I did everything in the business from the day I started it to the day I sold it. And that is such a huge mistake that I did. I was so untrusting of people. I was like, no one could pack a box as good as I can. I mean, it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous how we are in our own way. I mean, we are the bottleneck in our business all the time. And I was definitely the bottleneck in that business as well. but playing to my strengths. So what are the things I'm good at? What are the things I like to do? For me, what I'm good at is the marketing stuff. I'm really good at the creative stuff. I'm not good at things like customer service, emails, I don't want to do that. Packing and shipping the orders. I have no interest. Even bookkeeping, once the business gets to a certain amount of revenue, I definitely want to get a bookkeeper because I do not like doing any of that kind of stuff. I hate going through my QuickBooks and having to like come up with the tax stuff. And oh my God, it makes me want to like bash my face in. So, and to be honest with you, one of the things that I think I'm going to have to also outsource at some point soon is going to be social media. I feel like I am too old, too tired. I don't have it in me. I don't think I have it in me to do all the social media stuff. So I'm probably going to have to start outsourcing that at some point, which that's going to be expensive. But social media is important. You know, as much as I sit here and say, oh, social media, like don't, you know, it shouldn't be your only strategy. I believe that. I stand by that. But it doesn't mean that you don't have to do social media. You definitely still need to do some part of social media. So just knowing what your strengths are, what are the things that you're good at? What are the things that light you up? What are the things that you really enjoy doing? And what are the things that you hate doing? And those are the things that you want to be outsourcing. Again, a virtual assistant, someone in your neighborhood. People will constantly say, I can't afford it. I can't afford to hire anyone. I can't afford to hire this. I can't afford that. But what if it's like someone in your neighborhood who comes to your house and helps you 1 hour per week? Can you really not afford that? There's always something that you can afford, you know? And when you release that, when you get that time back, even if it's 1 hour a week, that could be 1 hour a week that you are creating really awesome TikToks that get visibility for your business. Or you use that 1 hour per week and you write a blog post that's really on point. And that at some point, it's going to start generating organic traffic from Google. So you have to be aware that your time is valuable. Okay, number 7 is going to be creating SOPs. So standard operating procedure, I think that's what an SOP stands for. Basically, what an SOP is you write down how you do something. You write down the step-by-step of how something is done. So in my business, when I want to outsource something else, I make an SOP for Rose, who's my VA. And I say, okay, for YouTube, you take the video I created, you look at my show notes, you add this thing to the intro, this is how you do the tags, you click this button, you do this thing. You either make a list, you write a list out, or you can do a video, like a screen recording of how you do something. And then you have like a folder in your computer, or you have a folder in a Loom account or something where you have all of the ways that you can do something. So then if you say, hey, you know what? I'm finally ready to outsource something to a virtual assistant, or I'm ready to outsource something to, I don't know, someone in my neighborhood. You don't have to start from scratch. You have all the procedures written out and how you do things. So I didn't do this in my first business at all. Like there was not one SOP in my entire business. So then when I went to sell the business, they were like, well, how do you do this? And how do you do that? And what's your process for your brand ambassador program? How do you get them? What do you do with them? How do you engage with them? How do you pay it? Like, I had to spend like a month or two literally writing out procedures for everything. And like, it was fine, but Now that I have somewhat of a team, I have to have SOPs in my business. So with the next business, what I would start doing from the early days are creating those procedures. What are the step-by-steps for customer service emails? What are the templates that you use? How do you do this thing? How do you do that? Like you just make a list and you keep it in a folder. And then when you start to hire people, you already have all these things written out. So SOPs are very, very important, and I would definitely do those next time in the business. The next thing I would do is, so this is number 8. So I really should just combine 8 and 9, but I'm going to really hone in here because I did this somewhat in the business, but I didn't do it enough. So number 8 of what I would do differently next time is I would focus on like word of mouth marketing. So again, this kind of goes back to number three, where I said have a clear marketing and visibility strategy. But I really want to just talk about word of mouth and talk about the importance of what that looks like for your business. So word of mouth is everything. And one of the things that I see as what I believe is going to be really important for businesses to have moving forward is more UGC. Asking for UGC from your customers. So UGC is user-generated content. There's a lot of people on, you know, Instagram, for example, who are trying to sell you courses on UGC, and this is how you get brand deals and this, but the way I look at UGC and the way that I talk about it or teach it in any of my programs is you're actually getting UGC from customers. So you're basically involving your customers in your business so much, and you're getting them to become your brand evangelists. So then when they get your product, they're taking a video of it, they're posting it on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, they're telling friends and family, and you want that word of mouth. That word of mouth is everything. Trust. There is no better version of trust than a friend messaging a friend and saying, oh my gosh, I just got this product. You have to try it. You will love it. No influencer in the whole fucking world will ever get someone to trust trying your product out for the first time than their best friend or a friend, or maybe even someone that they're really close friends with on social media or something. Than that. Like, there is no other easier way to get a friend to try a product than that. So I think I'm really going to be leaning into how do I get the most word of mouth as humanly possible. So UGC is going to be a huge strategy of mine. And to be honest with you, I'm kind of laughing right now because I'm like, oh, another business idea. I really want to do a Shopify app that combines reviews. So basically trust building and conversion mix into one. So a Shopify app that gets reviews from customers, but it like encourages customers to give you UGC style videos. So it's something I've been thinking about for a little while. I'm not going to say too much more because there's no point in talking about something that, you know, isn't actually happening, but I really would like to do that as well. So I think UGC, getting reviews, et cetera, is so important, but I think UGC is going to be a make or break strategy moving forward with, especially with direct to consumer businesses. Like, I think you just need to have it. So one of my focuses is going to be really leaning into word of mouth. I did lean into word of mouth with the first business, but I'm going to like lean in really, really hard with that. And then that leads me to number nine, which is kind of similar to word of mouth, but not really, is customer loyalty. So how do I get my customers to be obsessed with my brand? Again, some of the things I'm mentioning in this video, I have done with my first business. But I think when I say, what would I do differently? I'm also going to be talking about things I did before, but how can I do them better this time? How can I double the hell down on those? Customer loyalty is going to be non-negotiable. Like, I have to do all the things that I talk about again in my customer obsession book, involving the customers, making them feel special, incentivizing them for being repeat buyers, that kind of thing. Really leaning into getting repeat customers. So really leaning into email marketing, loyalty programs, and things like that. So that's a huge, huge opportunity for anyone that's listening here, is how do I get more repeat customers? Because there's only three ways to really make money in your business. You get a new customer to buy, you get a past customer or repeat customer to buy again, and then lastly, you get someone to spend more. So they have to spend more with you. So average order value increases. Those are really the three ways to make money in your business. And so repeat customers is one of those categories. How do you get people to buy more from you? So email marketing is a huge one, SMS marketing, customer loyalty programs. And then lastly, number 10, and this fits into my framework for creating a cult-like brand. is number 10 is really leaning into creating a humanized business. With my first business, I actually didn't share my face that much. I did a little. I used my dog as the face of the business. So my dog, Asha, my Black Lab Shepherd mix. So she was actually more of the face of the business than I was. But with this business, the dog poop bag company, I'm definitely going to be sharing, I'm not going to be taking over the business or anything. Kennedy, my golden doodle, is actually going to be the dog behind this business. However, I 100% am going to be part of the brand. I'm going to be sharing my story, you know, basically sharing the whole reason why I'm doing the business, where dog walks have like really changed my life. They have transformed my mental health. They have helped me reduce anxiety and all the things. And it's because of my dog walking. And I'm going to be sharing that story. And my face will be on the website. My face will be on the inserts that you get when you order the poop bags. It'll probably be a picture of me and Kennedy. I haven't like 100% planned it out, but that's probably going to be my plan. And I will be a part of the email campaigns. I'll be part of the social media. Like, I will be part of the brand. And that is because another thing that I truly believe in with every ounce of my body is for you to stand out in 2024 and beyond, you have to have a humanized business. You cannot be a faceless brand. So that's really, really important that I do lean into that a little bit more with this next business and share my story, show my face, get on video, you know, videos of me and Kennedy on the walks, on doing whatever. Yeah. So I'm going to be doing that a lot more with this brand. And, you know, like there's going to be a balance. I don't want it to be the Carrie show. That's not what it is, but I do need to be a part of it, you know, and I want to do more PR. Like I want to get more PR features. I want to pitch myself for speaking events and all the things. So that humanization and like sharing my expertise and all that is going to be part of that too. So those are 10 things that I'm either going to do totally different with this next business, or I am leaning into a little bit more than I did the first time around. And I'm really, really excited. This is such a fun, it's been so fun for me to even start thinking about this business. And again, I'm going to do a separate podcast on, you know, why I decided to start it and all the things, but I wanted to give you a little, just as I've been thinking about this new business, these thoughts of what I would do differently have really been just in my brain for so long. And I thought it would be a fun episode to share with you. So that is it for this episode. My sweet friends, if you like this episode, please do me a favor and leave a review on Apple iTunes. It does help get the podcast in front of more people and I'd be super grateful. And yeah, I'm excited. I will keep you guys updated on the poop bag and all the things. And I'm just really excited to share everything with you and kind of take you behind the scenes with me as I build out this second business. And yeah, super grateful for your support and listening and all the amazing messages that you send me, just letting me know that you like the podcast and you know how it's helped you. So keep doing that. It makes my entire day more than you could ever know. And I'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you love this episode, please go ahead and leave a review on Apple Podcasts and then take a screenshot and share it on your Instagram stories. Tag me in it at Carrie A. Fitzgerald. My name is in the show notes. Thank you so much and I'll see you guys next week.